19 benefits of Bitcoin that most people have never heard about. Welcome back to the Bitcoin Layer. I'm Nick Bhatia. Today, we are going to talk about the real human impact of Bitcoin. Bitcoin researcher Daniel Batten, who has appeared several times on this show, sent out a post today called 19 Benefits of Bitcoin That Most People Have Never Heard About. And we have this post for you here today. We are going to break it down and show you what Daniel is talking about and explain that Bitcoin isn't just a financial speculative tool. Bitcoin has human impact, and we want to show you that today. Now, Daniel notes that these are not hypothetical or isolated benefits, but existing uses that are currently impacting an exponentially growing set of people. Number one, getting aid to millions of war refugees. Now, we have seen in the recent political conflicts that people have wanted to change countries, flee their current situation, and are using Bitcoin as a tool to keep money on their person and be on the go. So we have several examples of this. One of these comes from Mackenzie Sigalos over at CNBC, fantastic Bitcoin reporter. Ukrainian refugee flees to Poland with $2,000 in Bitcoin on a USB drive. So these are examples which we can see that Bitcoin has a real impact for people that are trying to escape political persecution, escape war, and want to leave their country with money. Now, historically, what are the ways that they can transport money across borders? Number one, they can do so with precious metal. So that would mean that they have to have access to high-quality precious metal coins, which is not the case in many parts of the world. And number two, that they would be able to take those coins and transport them across borders without encountering some immigration or customs official that might make them declare or be subject to seizure. Now, when you transport gold across borders, it is going to be subject to these government regulations and especially make you subject to search at an airport, for example. Bitcoin can be transported in a variety of ways, including on any digital device. So that includes a USB drive, a computer, a smartphone, etc. Whether or not people are using Bitcoin to transport money across borders to flee war or to flee their government for any number of reasons is not our business. Bitcoin has impact because it allows people to use technology in order to move money around the world in ways that they might never have had that ability before. So one of the options is precious metal. Another way that people can move money across borders in addition to precious metal coins is cash. But the problem with cash is that cash can be bulky. In many countries, changing their currency for US dollars in order to take that money across the border can be cumbersome and expensive. And also, if you aren't able to secure dollars in your country and you want to move money across borders, then you have to find somebody in the next country to take your local currency, which might cost you as well. The third option for moving money across borders would be to do so electronically. But then how do you send money electronically to yourself in another country? So that poses a challenge. Bitcoin represents this unprecedented ability to transport money because it's digital and it is a bearer instrument. It means that you don't have to use a third party to transfer it. You don't have to use another company as a central point to send the money to that company so that they can then send it back to you. Bitcoin allows you to keep it yourself just as if you were carrying precious metal coins or just as if you were carrying cash, But then the risk of cash is that you have exposure to that country, right? So if you are transporting currency that is local, you have exposure to that currency and that country. And if you are carrying dollars, of course you have exposure to the US, but because the US dollar is the most reliable currency, it is also the most targeted in terms of transporting across the world. And so if you were to bring more than $10,000 worth of US currency into the United States and didn't declare it, you would be subject to those laws that are at the US Border and Customs Patrol. Number two, and this is similar to number one, which applies to war refugees, but number two, refugees in general, allowing them to take savings safely across borders and reestablish their lives. It is estimated that 329,000 refugees have done this so far. So 329,000 people have used Bitcoin to leave their country and go to another country and reestablish their lives. So that is because they are able to turn their labor, their hard labor, into hard currency. And when people are able to earn, even if they're earning in their local currency, they have access to P2P markets. They have access to Bitcoin. They can purchase Bitcoin with their hard-earned labor, even if it's with their local currency, and they can take that Bitcoin and one day transport that their whole lives to a different country. And now, if people are doing that just to have that mobility of money, then Bitcoin gives them that power. But Bitcoin gives people an extra power, which is that it's proven in the past that if you have held Bitcoin for more than 3.5 years, you are exposing yourself to enormous gains in that local currency or even in the currency of a country that you want to move to. And so Bitcoin has this double power of allowing financial freedom and having the perspective of giving yourself future gains in local currency terms because you are saving in a currency that is considered by the market much more durable. We see here another headline from Mackenzie Sigalos. Bitcoin is poised to blow up Africa's $86 billion banking system. Now, Lightning Network, which is a technology using Bitcoin, a protocol that uses Bitcoin for instant and low-cost transactions, allows Bitcoin to be used at a much higher frequency and at a much lower threshold. And so with Lightning Network, Bitcoin becomes much more usable in a day-to-day transactional sort of way. And now Bitcoin on the ground in Africa is really making waves. It's a topic that we have covered many times, courtesy of our correspondent in Africa, Nolene Sumba, who is on the ground in Kenya, but gives us knowledge from around the continent, South Africa, Nigeria, Ghana, and her own country of Kenya. And we get a sense that Bitcoin is being used on multiple humanitarian and economic fronts in Africa. Africa is a place where Bitcoin is being used to escape hyperinflation. It's being used to circumvent oppressive financial regulations and banking regulations. I'm talking about Nigeria here and Nigeria's CBDC efforts, their efforts to reform their currency policy. But in Africa, in Nigeria, in Kenya, what we see is a perpetual weakening of government currencies versus the US dollar. You can imagine how that is going to translate into Bitcoin as well. And so what we see is an accelerated pace of adoption in Africa. Now, more on Africa in just a moment. The Bitcoin Layer is proud to be sponsored by Unchained, the leader in Bitcoin financial services. Unchained empowers you to take full control of your Bitcoin with collaborative multi-sig vaults where you hold two of three keys and benefit from a Bitcoin security partner. This is a really important feature. You can purchase Bitcoin directly into your cold storage with Unchained's trading desk and completely eliminate your exchange risks. Unchained also offers the best IRA product in the industry. You can convert easily your 401k or IRA into Bitcoin while keeping control of your keys. Don't pay more in taxes than you have to. Go talk to them today, unchained.com/TBL, and make sure you use code TBL for $99 off when you create an account. Number four. Having a safe store of value in autocratic nations that lack a safe banking system. This is an enormous one here. Across the world, we have banking systems that are not stable. And that is because they are denominated in a currency that is not stable. They are regulated in a country that doesn't have a stable political regime. So there are many countries like this around the world. Many of them are in Africa. And let's see these next two headlines. Why Nigeria is a global leader in Bitcoin trade, and from the BBC. And then a Chainalysis report. Chainalysis is a company that dissects Bitcoin's blockchain data and tries to extract information. Chainalysis is famous for being contracted by federal authorities in the United States to try to track criminal activity that uses Bitcoin. And historically, back into the Silk Road days, Bitcoin was being used as a currency by criminals. Now we see a report that we will cover later in this video from the Treasury saying that criminals actually now prefer dollars and other fiat currency to Bitcoin because of this very dynamic. Now, Bitcoin adoption in sub-Saharan Africa is highest in the world. This goes to show you that banking regimes that are unstable, those regimes are motive for the people in those countries to use Bitcoin more than anything else. And that is evidenced in these statistics. Number five, giving women financial equity in nations that practice state-level discrimination against women. This is another enormous benefit of Bitcoin, is that Bitcoin doesn't see religion, gender. It doesn't see what border you are behind. It is a technology that gives people, anybody that can manage a private key, which is a number. So anybody that can manage a number, Bitcoin gives these people access to a savings tool. And we see this headline from Bitcoin Magazine written by another tireless advocate for Bitcoin, Alex Gladstein, Finding Financial Freedom in Afghanistan. A pioneering female CEO has been promoting Bitcoin in Afghanistan since 2013. And so what we see here is that Bitcoin, because it gives war refugees the ability to take money across borders, it allows political refugees to take money and leave and set up their lives. It allows women to have a tool for financial savings that doesn't require permission from a banking system or from a government. And this is key in many countries around the world, giving women access to financial savings technology. Because if you can manage a number, which can be done on a smartphone, and so if people have access to smartphones, they have access to any sort of device that can allow them to hold Bitcoin private keys, they have financial freedom. We know that in South Asia, in India, one of the traditions is for women to actually wear their financial security on their person. And so historically and culturally, that is one of the reasons, I'm not saying it's the only reason, but it's one of the reasons that gold jewelry is such an important part of Indian culture, is because gold jewelry allows women to actually have financial security by wearing it. And so Bitcoin unlocks that idea into a new level. Number six, allowing people in developing nations to receive remittance payments from family without delays and without heavy fees or loss of purchasing power in the 8 closed countries with dual exchange rates, one of them being El Salvador. And we know that remittance payments are popular to families back home in the Philippines from countries in the West. We know that remittance payments are popular in Vietnam and Thailand as well via Bitcoin. Lightning Network is being employed more and more. We have evidence of Lightning Network being used as remittance payments all over the world in countries with dual exchange rates, but also in countries across the earth. And so what we can assume is that Bitcoin, because it allows a true peer-to-peer transaction, we can assume that people are firing their money transmitters all around the world, because Bitcoin drives the cost of transmitting that money down to the margin, which is very, very low. And that low amount of money that it takes to transmit money electronically peer-to-peer puts the entire financial sector at jeopardy. And that is not because Bitcoin is going to replace investment banking tomorrow, but it does mean that Bitcoin has the ability to drive money transmitters out of business because they can charge 10%, for example. And that is the only way that they are able to generate enough profits to stay alive. And so Bitcoin at the edge will chip away at the entire financial sphere by eating into the fees that the financial sector has been used to and has grown accustomed to. We see this headline here, Chivo Bitcoin Wallet, which is the wallet native to El Salvador and the government in their introduction of all of their Bitcoin policies over the last few years with President Bukele over there. Chivo Bitcoin Wallet enables unprecedented financial inclusion for El Salvador. Number seven, providing freedom from overnight currency debasement for 14 African nations experiencing French monetary colonization. And you see this headline here from Foreign Policy. Macron isn't so post-colonial after all. National sovereignty is one thing. Monetary sovereignty is another. And so France is holding 14 African nations hostage via the CFA. And this is a story that Alex Gladstein, who we just mentioned, has covered in depth. We would encourage people to go check out the history of the CFA, and Bitcoin gives these countries, again, an unprecedented ability to escape colonial influence from France. Number eight, verifying and improving the integrity of electoral processes. And we see this headline, Rafael Cordon safeguarding elections with Bitcoin. This is evidence of Bitcoin being used for things other than explicitly money. The fact that Bitcoin is a ledger kept by every Bitcoin node around the world that updates together in sync so that no one computer or no one entity can control the truth. Bitcoin is being applied to elections as a way to keep the truth and to maintain the official record from a public perspective. I would argue here that the electoral process around the world can potentially be assisted by Bitcoin, but we are still a long way away from Bitcoin being used in voting technology. Number nine, providing banking to the unbanked. Over 2 billion people in the world are unbanked. Now, this one here is basically the crux of Bitcoin itself, which is that Bitcoin is a technology, and all you need is a computing device to be able to use Bitcoin. And so who has a computing device versus who has a bank account? And the answer here is that there are a couple billion people, so a quarter of the world, that has access to a phone but doesn't have access to a bank. But because they have access to a phone, they have access to Bitcoin. And so if they have access to Bitcoin, do they need a bank? And this goes with the argument I have, which is that some children today that have already been born will never have a bank account. And that is because Bitcoin is changing the way that we interact with money. We don't need a custodian for our money. Now, credit providers and banks that lend money into existence is a different application, a special teaser for my second book here, which will include a vision of the future on how Bitcoin and a credit system can coexist. Number 10, how to dictator-proof your money. Now, this article is about using Bitcoin to prevent against the government coming after you for engaging in humanitarian efforts that might be anti-government in their expression. And so once again, Bitcoin is this tool to give people the ability to express against their own government without making themselves subject to that seizure. Because if you can earn money and then convert it into Bitcoin, leave your country because Bitcoin allows you to transport yourself and your wealth across borders. It also allows you to engage in humanitarian efforts that might have been stopped by the government of the place that you were. The next category is energy. Number 11, providing energy abundance to multiple villages in Africa who were previously without power. Now, the Bitcoin Layer audience is familiar with this story because we've covered it with Nolin Sumba and others. Bitcoin is changing the game in Africa with energy production, stranded energy, and Bitcoin mining, all combining into a win-win situation for places across the continent. So we have stories of African villages using running water through streams and rivers, harnessing that power via hydroelectric, converting that power to simultaneously mine Bitcoin, and all these villages are gaining partners, right? They're not the ones that are buying the Bitcoin miners. They're gaining partners that need energy, right? And so the energy is provided to the villages and the Bitcoin miners so that both can benefit. And in this way, Bitcoin is allowing the harnessing of energy in places never previously imagined. This headline here, the African village mining Bitcoin, cryptocurrency can be a liberating force. Now, we find this story about mining Bitcoin in villages using stranded electricity that can be generated from hydroelectric power right off of just running water through these villages, we find this as one of the most fascinating and incredible applications of Bitcoin that we've ever seen. And it is here my personal opinion that Bitcoin is changing lives in this way, in a way that's not understood broadly. And that's why I wanted to make this video. That's why we constantly have Daniel Batten on the program, and we encourage you guys to go check out his work to really push the message that Bitcoin is more than just something for traders and something for people that like to bet on directionality. Bitcoin really is a technology that empowers people, and I know that 40 to 50% of you guys are in the United States. That means half of you are not. And so when we think about the financial privilege, again, this is the third nod to Alex Gladstein. The title of his book was Check Your Financial Privilege. the financial privilege that we have in the United States and in some Western countries that allows us access to a banking system and credit providers, we take for granted a lot of the ability to just move money around quickly. But in many countries, people don't have that ability. And so Bitcoin represents something different to people in the US than it does to people in Africa, for example. People in the US that invest in Bitcoin might be doing so because of how charged up they are about policies from the government and the central bank working together to destroy the value of the dollar over the long term. I'm in that camp. People in Africa are using Bitcoin to escape hyperinflation, to escape political persecution, and I'm not in that camp. But we have to recognize that there are both people, and there are more than just two types of Bitcoin users. The US person that is doing so as a political expression, or the person in Nigeria that is doing so to escape the eventuality of the e-Naira. There are people in El Salvador that are using Bitcoin to remit. There are people that are using Bitcoin in African villages just to have power where they never had electricity before. The applications for Bitcoin are endless, and we challenge you guys to send this to people that might think Bitcoin is just a tool to gamble on financial markets. Number 12, developing energy independence for nation states such as Bhutan and Ethiopia. And this is another one we see now. Countries are starting to get into the Bitcoin mining game in order to change the way that they harness power from their own environment. So Bhutan built a Bitcoin mine on the site of its failed education city. And we see this now happening in different countries around the world. Ethiopia is the next one. And as Daniel says, this is about energy independence, right? So Bitcoin mining is just a step on the path to energy independence. Because if you can attract companies to come in and build electricity plants, harnessing what you already have in the country, and those electricity providers are partnering with Bitcoin miners that need access, then you can also benefit because now you have new electricity generation facilities where you didn't used to have one. And that's the win-win we are talking about with Bitcoin mining here. Bitcoin mining itself is the most powerful energy arbitrage the world has ever seen. And this is a topic, again, that we continue to dive into with Daniel Batten and others, thinking that we can make electricity appear as if from nowhere and use that electricity for two things, for mining Bitcoin and for powering economic activity for the local people. The next portion of this list is dedicated to the environmental benefits of Bitcoin. Number 13, reducing emissions from landfills. Companies launch pilot using landfill methane emissions to power on-site data processing. So we have now environmental benefits to Bitcoin, such as reducing the amount of methane that is released into the atmosphere. And how is this possible? We have landfills all over the world, many of them open pit landfills. Now, what is this doing? It's doing two things at the same time. Number one, it's taking methane that is harmful for the environment, harmful to locals, can make people sick, taking that methane out of the environment, that is one. And number two, it's converting it and burning it into electricity. And so Bitcoin miners are motivated now to move to a facility right next to a landfill so that they can harness the methane and help the environment and benefit by generating hash power for themselves and profits. So profits and environmental benefit happening at the same time. This is another story that we believe is incredibly powerful in addition to helping villages across the world have access to electricity for the first time. Now we have villages that are next to methane-emitting landfills, open-pit landfills, that can now be assisted by Bitcoin mining. Number 14, accelerating the renewable transition by making renewable generation more profitable. So when Bitcoin miners are attached to renewable projects, it has the potential to make the energy production more profitable than otherwise. Number 15, developing a monetary system with significantly lower emissions and emissions intensity than the banking system. Now, this is something that's very underappreciated. The banking industry is one of the largest consumers of energy in the entire world. All of those employees, branches, offices, computers, all of that requires a ton of energy to power. Now, who is to say that a financial system based off of Bitcoin and not banks would be more or less energy intensive? And that is the point here of number 15, a comparison of Bitcoin's environmental impact with that of gold and banking. And we can imagine that with all the energy consumption of banking, all the energy consumption and environmental degradation that goes into mining gold, that Bitcoin is potentially a much cleaner technology for us as a human race to engage in money than if we were to use banking and gold. Number 16, becoming the world's most sustainably powered major industry. And we see in this headline here that Bitcoin mining's green mile, 55% sustainable energy usage. This is the industry with the highest percentage of sustainable energy use on the entire planet. And this is our point about Bitcoin mining being an energy arbitrage. Bitcoin miners are able to achieve the lowest cost and cleanest energy on the planet. There's no other sector in the world that is able to achieve such a high percentage of sustainable energy usage. And why is that? Because Bitcoin miners can go anywhere. Number 17, rescuing a national park in Africa. Now, in this story from Adam Popescu, we've actually interviewed him about this very story, Gorillas, Militias, and Bitcoin, Why Congo's Most Famous National Park is Betting Big on Crypto. Now, Bitcoin mining is a tool that this one national park started to use in order to secure its village against poaching. And so it might not be the most obvious connection here, but if these rural places in Africa are able to mine Bitcoin, they are able to generate revenue for themselves to fight back against poachers or other militia activity. The next section and the last two here are benefits to liberal democracies. So number 18, having an international borderless currency that governments cannot surveil or freeze with fixed monetary supply that prevents irresponsible government funding of forever wars, passing debt burdens to future generations, and the inflationary money printing that widens wealth gaps. This, number 18, is what we have expressed is the main frustration from the West with the financial system giving them the path toward Bitcoin. It's people being fed up with forever wars. It's people being fed up with a debt burden that they will have to pay back in taxes and future generations will have to pay back in taxes. People are fed up with this, and that is why they are looking to Bitcoin to protect themselves. Number 19, providing a financial system that is harder to use for money laundering than the fiat system. And we see that the Treasury Department released a report that said criminals do indeed use DeFi tools, but most criminal activity still opts for fiat. And so we can see that Bitcoin isn't just a technology for criminals. Actually, paper currency is much more anonymous and better for criminals that want to avoid peering eyes from the law. And so these are the 19 benefits of Bitcoin that most people have never heard about. A special thank you to Daniel Batten. Go follow him and make sure to check out his work on Bitcoin and the environment. Bitcoin and international adoption due to ESG narratives, and we'll catch you guys next time.